Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2424, with a release date of Friday, April 12th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams help shed light during a solar eclipse. 3D RF filters find a future in wireless devices, and Hytera radios are banned from sales worldwide. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2424 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week brings the latest chapter in a long simmering patent dispute between Motorola and Hytera. A U.S. federal court in the Northern District of Illinois has prohibited Hytera Communications, a major provider of two-way radios, from selling, distributing, or importing its radios, quote, until further notice, end quote, requiring the company to pay a daily fine of $1 million to the court if they do not comply. Even as it acted in compliance with the U.S. court injunction, Hytera separately announced that it was withdrawing its own counterclaims against Illinois-based Motorola that it had filed in a Shenzhen court. Hytera has denied claims that its H-series radios have infringed on Motorola's trademark and copyright. The U.S. court injunction banning the radio's global sales came just as Hytera was preparing to show at ISC West, a major security conference being held in Las Vegas, Nevada, starting on April 9th. When getting on the air from a national park isn't a POTA activation, but a call for help, other hams are always there, as one new operator in California discovered. We hear this story from Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
A distress call from an amateur radio operator stranded in Death Valley mobilized some quick-acting amateur radio operators, some of them hundreds of miles away, to get the ham and his family some assistance. According to personal accounts and media reports, Moritz Wacker, KO6DZX, was camping with his family on Friday, April 5th, when their vehicle became stuck in the mud. Caleb Gustwiller, KD8TGB, and Craig Rower, KE8QJV, were among those who picked up his weak distress call on 28.430 MHz. The stranded ham had his radio along for the trip and used it. Caleb said in an email to Newsline that he and other hams who were listening, including fellow members of the Black Swamp Amateur Radio Club, heard him faintly in Ohio. Those hams, along with many others, posted on the Parks on the Air page on Facebook to get the word out, and still others called the county sheriff in Death Valley and police in San Diego, which QRZ.com lists as the ham's address. Other radio operators reached out to the National Parks Service Police. Caleb said it was an all-out effort from various locations. Caleb told Newsline that the stranded ham is a relatively new licensee. This was apparently a camping trip, not a POTA outing, but contacts made with the Zhigu G90 and quarter-wave vertical did the trick. According to all accounts, rangers found the family and they were back home safely that night. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
The recent solar eclipse over North America gave hams a chance to give back to science in a big way. As big as the sun itself, you might say. Cell MB, KB3TZD, has that story.
The day after the April 8th solar eclipse, logs were already rolling in from hams and radio clubs in North America who had taken part in the solar eclipse CUSO party. The party's organizer, the citizen science group HamSci, was already embarking on its next big challenge, to study the logs and the results of other propagation experiments that were taking place concurrently. The inboxes were filling up fast, according to HamSci's public information officer, Ed Fchak, WX2R. Ed told Newsline in a phone call one day later, quote, "We are certainly very, very happy with yesterday. A lot of people were on the air who understood that from the standpoint of science, you have to populate to propagate. That population included the Suffolk County Radio Club, W2DQ, which set up a field day style operation outside an Eastern Long Island library where it operated SSB and FT8. It was also a chance to educate visitors, as Club Vice President Ed Wilson, N2XDD, explained the ham's roles in the ionospheric studies. Meanwhile, HamSci reported that whisper data was already coming in from a concurrent event, the Gladstone Signal Spotting Challenge. He said valuable results were collected as well from HamSci's personal weather stations, the time delay of arrival experiment, and the medium wave recordings experiment. Conclusions are, of course, a long way off, but visitors to Hamvention in Ohio next month will be hearing more of what's to come. This is CellMB, KB3TZD.
If you were involved in the QSO party and haven't already done so, upload your logs in ADI or Cabrillo format following the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. Scientists at NASA have identified a damaged memory chip that compromised Voyager 1's transmissions. We have more details from Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
NASA engineers are confident they have traced the source of the garbled data that was coming from the deep space probe Voyager 1. According to the NASA website, one of the onboard computers was found to have corrupted memory and that a single chip within the flight data subsystem failed, causing this to happen. Since November, any science and engineering data sent to Earth has been garbled. Engineers were able to link the small percentage of corrupted data to that single memory chip. Whether the failure was the result of wear and tear after 47 years of flight, or something else, NASA engineers are now hopeful that they can fashion an alternate method of keeping Voyager 1 on the job. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
There's still time left for high school seniors or college students to apply for assistance from the O. Mike Scholarship Fund. This nonprofit organization was established as a separate entity by the O. Mike Amateur Radio Association to fulfill the mission of motivating youth in their education. The fund supports those pursuing studies in electronics, science, mathematics, or communications. The deadline for applications is the 1st of May. Previous year's scholarships were supported in part by grants from Amateur Radio Digital Communications. For additional details on how to apply, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This year has not been kind to broadcast radio towers in the United States. The latest towers to be destroyed are in West Virginia, but this time it was by an act of nature, a fierce windstorm with gusts up to 90 miles an hour. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, has that report.
High winds have destroyed two of the four towers serving the West Virginia Metro News Network's flagship radio station, WCHS-AM, and its sister FM station. WCHS, a news, talk, and sports broadcaster, is known as the Voice of Charleston. The AM radio station, which broadcasts on 580 kHz with a 5-kilowatt signal, is the primary entry point emergency alert system for West Virginia. Its programming serves the southern and southwestern part of the state. The tower damage also affected AM station WSWW, which broadcasts on 1490 kHz. That station, an ESPN radio affiliate, returned to its regular sports programming a day later. A pair of FM translators also broadcast the station signals on 95.7 and 104.5 megahertz. A report on the Radio World website showed photos of the wreckage. Questions remained on how or when the towers would be replaced. On a personal note, I had the privilege of working at WCHS Radio several years ago. This is Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
We're getting closer to deadline time for this year's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Let Newsline know of any promising young amateurs who are deserving of this honor. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will, no doubt, go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website at arnewsline.org under the Awards tab. Nominations close on May 31st. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the ZS0MOT repeater in Middleburg, South Africa, on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. local time. Fans of open-source software for radio will be attending a conference later this year, and the presenters are needed, as we hear from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
The 14th annual conference, focusing on the free open-source software development tool known as GNU Radio, is looking for presenters. Developers and users from around the radio community are invited to Knoxville, Tennessee in September to share papers, presentations, projects, and even to pose some questions to fellow radio operators, researchers, and educators. The development toolkit has been employed everywhere, from amateur radio to industry and government, to be paired with software-defined radios, as well as simulated radio environments. Previous conference topics have included GNU Radio's role in atmospheric research, amateur radio, citizen science, and channel modeling. Proposals are due no later than June 17th. The conference is scheduled to start on the 16th of September. Visit GNUradio.org for details. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
A longtime radio amateur who had been active as a leader and educator in the world of public service in Canada has become a silent key. We hear about him from Dave Parks, WB8 ODF.
Angus Joe McPherson, VE1CH, died on April 6th of colon cancer at the palliative care unit of the Victoria General Hospital in Halifax, Nova Scotia. First licensed in 1963 with the call sign VE1AHC, Joe enjoyed an amateur radio career that was complemented by his many professional and volunteer roles as a communicator in public service. Joe was a veteran of the Royal Canadian Navy, which he had served as a radio man. Later, he served as a volunteer telecommunications officer with the Canadian Red Cross and was a visiting instructor at the Canadian Emergency Preparedness College in Ontario. He retired from Industry Canada, formerly known as the Department of Communications, where he had worked in the cable TV section and radio regulatory division. He represented the Department on NATO Civil Communications Planning Committee, many of them in Europe. In 2002, he became the first Vice President of Radio Amateurs of Canada. Joe was 81. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Scientists have found a way to save space and increase performance in wireless devices by using 3D RF filters, as we hear from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A Florida researcher has developed three-dimensional RF filters that one day may save space inside of smartphones and IoT devices, leaving more room for batteries and someday paving the way for 6G wireless devices operating in the terahertz range. The researcher, Ruzba Tabrizian, of the University of Florida in Gainesville, calls RF filters, quote, the entire backbone of wireless systems, end quote. Writing earlier this year in the journal Nature Electronics, the Florida research team explained how the 3D filters were developed to take the place of the more commonplace flat resonators, which have varying thickness depending upon the wireless frequency they are using. By comparison, the 3D resonators, known as ferroelectric gate fin, or FGF, are able to handle frequencies between 3 and 28 gigahertz. The research team has already manufactured several of them. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
Hams in Spain recently got good news from the regulator. They have privileges on 40 megahertz.
Amateurs in Spain have been given access to the 8-meter band for the next 18 months, joining the hams in other countries such as South Africa, Slovenia, Lithuania, Denmark and Ireland, who also enjoy operational or propagation research privileges on 40 megahertz. In Spain, radio operators may use a maximum PEP of 25 watts for transmissions on 40.650 to 40.750 megahertz. The announcement was made by the country's Secretary of State for Telecommunications and Digital Infrastructure, which granted the permission after advocacy from the URE, the National Association for Radio Amateurs in Spain. Hams in Spain may only transmit from the fixed location to which their license is assigned, and before doing so for the first time, they must notify the telecommunications authorities. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for Dominique, F5PTI, on the air as TM500NA, from the 14th through the 28th of April to mark the 500th anniversary of the first visit made to the New York City area by European explorer Giovanni de Verrazzano, QSL via F5PTI. Listen for Janus, SP9FIH, and Lezek, SP6CIK, operating from Bhutan as A52P and A52CI, respectively. They are on the air from the 19th of April through to the 4th of May, calling QRZ on 40 through 6 meters using CW, single sideband, and the digital modes. For QSL details, visit QRZ.com. There are some activations to listen for in recognition of World Amateur Radio Day and the founding 99 years ago of the International Amateur Radio Union. The Emirates Amateur Radio Society will operate with the special call sign A60WARD from the 15th through the 24th of April. The call sign will be appended by a number of different numeric extensions. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen to for the call sign CN99HR. Hams in Morocco will be active on the 13th through to the 21st of April, marking the IARU's anniversary. QSL directly to CN8RAH. Our last story for this week takes us to Australia, where an enterprising YL has given a gift to iPhone and iPad users who felt a bit left out in the woods when they were doing portable activations. We hear about her from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Parklands and summits are anything but a wilderness for Sue Southcott, VK5AYL. For her, inspiration grows abundantly under the canopy of trees. The retired computer programmer is the author of a free app in use by iPhone and iPad owners here in Australia and New Zealand. They make use of it to view and create spots, alerts and logging for SOTA, POTA, HEMA, WWFF, Shires and Silos on the air. She introduced the app, known as Parks and Peaks, at a meeting of the Wireless Institute of Australia in 2017. Creating it did not come easily at the time for Sue, who was still employed as a PC programmer and whose knowledge of Apple devices only included a few basics about their programming language known as Swift. So she did her homework on nights and weekends to learn it, with an eye towards filling the need for a complementary app already available to Android users. She's currently working on version 4 and at some point would like to release an international version. Best of all, Sue isn't just a programmer. She's an activator who gets to field test her own creations. One of her last activations was near the Pinnacles, spectacular limestone structures on West Australia's Coral Coast. Needless to say, both the app and the activation were a success. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
If a good day of radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, Dignity Memorial, DX News, DX World, EI7GL Blog, Facebook, 425 DX News, Global News, GNU Radio, Hackaday, HamSci, the IEEE Spectrum, ISC West, NASA.gov, OMIC Amateur Radio Association, QRZ.com, Radio World, shortwaveradio.de, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operations. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.